Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like the Red Cedar Report on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report to listen to our past shows. Today on the show, iSportsWeb contributor Ryan McCumber joins us as we take a look back at the Spartans' victory over Maryland. We're also going to look a little bit ahead. We're going to talk a little bit about Ohio State. This is a big week for the green and white in general, though, including the Michigan State basketball team as they face off with Kansas tomorrow night at the Champions Classic. Ryan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, man. Had a good weekend, and I am ready for the game on Tuesday, and I'm ready to head down to Columbus on Saturday.
Yeah, if we could just skip Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, that would be an awesome week.
Absolutely.
But, let's talk about Kansas a little bit first. Michigan State's first real test of the season, and usually they are the first power team to play a real test this early in the season. Anyone, anywhere, anytime mentality that Izzo takes does help bring in some of these recruits. But when you break down this game, some of these recruits, some of these younger guys, Deontay Davis, Kyle Ahrens, and Matt McQuaid, are they ready for this?
I think, you know what, Deontay, I mean, I know it was Florida Atlantic, but I was at the game on Friday as well, and he looked really good. He seems to be really confident. I think he's going to be okay. McQuaid, it should be interesting to see. I don't know if Ahrens is going to even play because he came in late in the game. Personally, I wouldn't mind seeing him take a red shirt because I know they still can. They got a few games they can play him in still. But, you know what, that game is going to be really interesting because I don't see the NCAA clearing Sheck Diallo. And personally, I think that's not really fair to him because I haven't seen anything that should keep him from being cleared. But, it should be a really interesting game on Tuesday, but I don't know, man. I don't know what to expect exactly.
Well, you talked about Kyle Ahrens. He doesn't want to take the red shirt. He said he's more than likely not going to. Obviously, playing in Izzo's rotation, if he finds out how deep he is on the bench, if we see maybe, I think specifically Alvin Ellis coming in and getting a lot of those last few minutes on the wing, I think then Ahrens may reconsider. But right now it doesn't look like he's going to take that. But you're right, Davis looks ready. I mean, Valentine is obviously ready. Forbes, I'm really high on Brendan Forbes this year. I think that those guys are going to carry this team so much further than people will ever give them credit for, as they're just going to be completely enamored with the class that's coming in next year. But you've got to respect what Valentine's done to this point, and Brendan Forbes, I think, has that breakout potential. And I think tomorrow night he's going to make it known how big of a factor he's going to be for Michigan State this season.
You know what, I agree with you, and I've seen the same thing with that you're talking about with people already looking forward to next season with their recruiting class coming in. You've got – I don't know how people can do that. When you've got a guy like – when you've got guys like Denzel Valentine and Bryn Forbes on this team as seniors and what they did late in the year last year, like you said, I think Forbes is primed to have a huge year. He looked really good on Friday. It looks like he's gotten bigger. I think he put on like 15 pounds of muscle. So I think that Brent is primed for a big year, and we already know how good Zell is. It looks like he's probably going to take the next step. But, yeah, I think that this year's team is going to be very, very, very good. And I don't know if they're a Final Four team or not, but you know what? You never can count a team out, especially when you've got Tom Izzo as your head coach.
Right, and the depth needs to be a factor this season. It's not going to be much of one against Kansas, just in regard that, well, you're missing Marvin Clark, and it appears all signs are pointing to Gavin Schilling missing the game as well. And I was also expecting a lot from Marvin Clark this year as well.
Right. Right. Definitely the depth isn't going to be there on Tuesday compared to what it will be this year. But you know what? I don't know what really to expect because Kansas is, like I said, they're probably not going to have Diallo cleared, and he's their big-time freshman that they had coming in. But, it's Tuesday. It should be interesting. I mean, MSU is going to be down on big men, chilling out more than likely. It's going to be this is the games that Tom Izzo likes. He likes these games early in the year where you play a big-time team like Kansas on a neutral floor and you go at it. I mean, this is why kids come to Michigan State.
Yeah, and the worst thing that happens, and this is part of the reason why we haven't spent a lot of time talking about basketball, is because it can be a 40-game season. So you can maybe afford a loss or two to a really good team like Kansas, and you can turn around and call those teachable moments. And
right.
It sounds like a cop-out for if Michigan State loses, but that's the way it is. There's 40 games. You don't have the luxury of – in football, you don't have the luxury of blowing a game. And so that's why we're going to turn our attention to the gridiron, and we're going to focus on football for the rest of the show. Sound good?
That works for me, dude.
First things first, Maryland is a terrible football team. Terrible football team. And Michigan State, with a less than 100% Connor Cook and with Tyler O'Connor in there, went in and they handled their business. And I want to kind of talk about Connor Cook because last year against Maryland, he had the worst game of his career, as he calls it. This year, he did even worse. 6 of 20, I think it was just 70, what was it? 77 yards or something like that. You saw a lot of Tyler O'Connor, especially in the second half, saw more Damian Terry in regard to his not wildcat packages, more than we've been accustomed to. Cook, they're saying he's going to be ready for Ohio State to knock off the Buckeyes. They need him at 100%.
Absolutely. Connor, look, like I've said this year, if you got Connor Cook as your quarterback at 100%, you've got a chance to win every game you play in. This defensive line, seems like Malik McDowell is just having a monster year. He was made Big Ten Player of the Week this year, Defensive Player of the Week this week. They need Connor Cook to be 100%. With this secondary, but we'll get to that later. I don't know. It's probably going to be a shootout if Michigan State wants to win.
Yeah, Michigan State, they've struggled defensively, at least compared to years past. And so Connor Cook's going to need it to be at 100%. O'Connor and Terry combined for just 12 throws. And so I don't necessarily know if Antonio maybe had someone talking in his ear, hey, look, we don't know if Cook's going to be good to go, or hey, look, he's going to be ready. Because he didn't have the zip and the pinpoint accuracy on those 20 throws that he's had, the rest of his entire career.
Right.
And so I don't know if D'Antonio didn't know the situation, and maybe he was just being conservative and didn't want to show Ohio State what they would try to do with Terry and O'Connor, or if he just wanted to run the ball just to protect the lead and be as conservative as he's been this entire season. And I think one of the theories that you can look at is the first one in the second half for the Spartans. We're going to look behind the quarterback at the running back situation. LJ Scott struggled. Gerald Holmes, it appears that he solidified the number one spot for this week.
Yeah.
Holmes had a really good game again. But Scott had two carries and he had two fumbles. I mean, you can't do that if you want to start at MSU and be a running back. We saw what D'Antonio did in 2011 with Edwin Baker when he was fumbling the ball, and Le'Veon Bell got the majority of the carries. So, Holmes has been a surprise to me this year. You know, I thought he'd probably wind up being the third back when everything was said and done. But he's probably been the best back all year. I mean, obviously, he got helped out with Madre Lundy getting hurt. But, Gerald Holmes is a better player than I expected that I thought he would be this year.
Right, 18 carries for 83 yards. You mentioned Scott's two fumbles. So with London starting to come back, because they did give him a couple of reps, does LJ Scott kind of find himself as the odd man out? Is D'Antonio going to give all three backs an opportunity against Ohio State? How is D'Antonio going to approach this heading into this weekend?
You know, that's a really good question. I think that LJ Scott is going to be really amped up for this game because he's from Ohio. He's going back home. I don't know. I think Gerald Holmes is going to get the majority of the carries, but I still think that you'll see LJ Scott and Madre London get some carries on Saturday. But I expect Gerald Holmes to get most of the carries.
Yeah, if you see Scott or London, they'll break a 20-yarder and look good doing it. D'Antonio's still going to ride the hot back. Well, let's look at the defense here. I don't care how bad Maryland's offense is. I really don't. At this point, the defense needed a jolt of confidence. They needed something to look back and be like, this is what we're capable of. And I think they showed it against the Terps.
Yeah, I'd agree. And you know what? I'm not, like you and I both know, I'm not a transitive property type of guy, but I did find it interesting that I think Maryland scored 28 points on Ohio State earlier this year. MSU held them to 7. Yes, Hills got hurt, and they brought in the backup for part of the game, but this defense, that looked like how they should have been playing most of the season. Secondary played well. They got a decent pass rush, and they shut down the running game pretty well. I was impressed. Like you said, I don't care if it's Maryland. That defense needed a jolt of confidence, and they got it on Saturday.
All right, you look at Maryland's quarterback situation. Rowe and Hills combined 17 to 35, 182 yards and 3 picks. You talked about how good the secondary looked. They finally got the secondary in there we've been hoping for. Ultimately, Hicks had to pass his concussion test first. But this is what we've been waiting for. You and me, we've talked about this. Without Copeland, without Williamson, this was a group that we needed to see out there. You needed to see Cox out of the cornerback spot and back where he looks a lot more comfortable at safety. Colquhoun, we've talked about, he's been good. Hicks has been lights out and good this past Saturday. And we needed to see something from Nicholson. And though he didn't make any big plays, he didn't make many mistakes either. And I think that was what we were looking for.
Absolutely.
Looking at it though, it took a huge play deep in Maryland's own territory for it to happen. A deep pass against Cox for 37 yards, and then Darian Hicks' hand got forced. Grayson Miller got pushed around a little bit out there. He got targeted out there, and not the targeting that will get you kicked out, but the targeting that will get you benched. And I think that was ultimately where the combination of the deep pass on Cox, where he's given up deep balls left and right this year at cornerback, and Grayson Miller, and that was when you saw a difference in the defense.
Right, and throughout the year, when Hicks has been on the field, he has been more than serviceable. He struggled last year, but this year you can see he's got a whole different confidence. He's playing. He's manning up his guy on the line. He's playing a lot more physical. Last year that was an issue with him sometimes. But like you said earlier, Cox moving back to safety is just absolutely huge. It was obvious he was out of position as a cornerback. He's just more comfortable there as a safety, and Nicholson coming back and playing better, not making mental mistakes like he was doing earlier in the year is just huge for this team, because he's got so much ability athletically, and to have him playing well, I guess you could say he played well against Maryland, it's just huge. The team needed that.
Okay, so you have Hicks, Colquhoun, Nicholson, and Cox as your four guys back there. Who else has played in the secondary? We've seen Tyson Smith play, Vyontae Copeland, R.J. Williamson, Jermaine Edmondson, Kari Willis, Grayson Miller. There's six right there. Am I missing anyone who's played a decent amount of reps? And I'd say Smith was a decent amount, but...
Mark Myers has played a little bit, but not really significantly.
Myers has played and Medeiros has played. There's 12.
Right.
That's 12 defensive backs right there that have played for Michigan State this year. The Hicks, Colquhoun, Cox, and Nicholson group have 6 of the 12 interceptions by the entire Spartan defense. And of those 12 defensive backs, they have 24 of the 33 passes defended. This is a group that you want to get that confidence that we talked about earlier, and we want them going into Columbus. I mean, ultimately, you would like to see R.J. Williamson in there somewhere, and Vyontae Copeland, maybe slide Colquhoun or Hicks to a nickelback. But of the players that are available, this is what Michigan State needs.
Absolutely. This is the perfect time to get healthy. I mean... You would have liked it for the Nebraska game, but this is the time to get healthy. I mean, with what we saw Saturday, I think MSU, if they win out, I think they're in. I mean, this game right here is really the start of the season for Michigan State. They need to win this game, and if they don't, they haven't accomplished their goals. And D'Antonio said that last year. They didn't accomplish their goals, even though, yes, they had a great season, but they weren't where they wanted to be. And this is the chance for the senior class to go out on a high note here.
Right. Well, this defense is making that step, right? The defense is finally getting to where they need to be. The secondary is finally getting to where they need to be. Ultimately, they'll be tested a lot more this Saturday, and we'll find out how far that they've come when they go up against J.T. Barrett and company. Probably taking a step forward.
That's what they needed to see. They needed to see some progress. And you know what? Yes, Maryland isn't a good team. We've mentioned that before, but they needed that confidence boost, and they finally got it.
Yeah. I think it's pretty safe to say Maryland's going to end up 14 in their power rankings tomorrow. When we release them. But, yeah, their special teams have looked really good. They Geiger's not missed anything too bad. Harbarger, he's starting to bounce back a little bit. Kevin Cronin isn't at the level that he was at last year, but he's starting to get there. And the coverage units, though, have been the most impressive for me. If you look at what they did against William Likely, who, in my opinion, most dangerous return man in America, Maryland's only player really worth anything above a B grade, in my opinion. Ultimately, I don't follow the Terps like I probably should. But Likely, I think, is the only player worth above a B grade this season based upon the way he's played. and I'll give him an A. He had 2 rushes for 1 yard, 3 catches for 9 yards. There were 7 punts by Hartbarger, and he only returned 1 for 7 yards. And he also had 3 kick returns for 58 yards, and 25 of those came off 1 return. That is what Michigan State needed to do. Me and Tony, we beat that horse to death and are talking about what Maryland can do offensively as far as put, or what Maryland can do as far as putting points on the board. We said it starts and ends with stopping this guy, and that's what Michigan State did.
Oh, absolutely. William Likely is one of the, like you said, he's one of the most explosive players in the country. And that, if Maryland wanted a chance, they needed him to have a huge day returning kicks and punts and getting him the ball and actually opening some lanes for him. But you know what? They didn't. They weren't able to do anything. He was held in check, and he has been one of the better players in the Big Ten, I think, this year. He's an explosive player, but you know what? Yeah, the special teams needed a confidence boost again, too, and that was needed, and they did get it. And like you said, their coverage on kickoffs and punts was outstanding, especially compared to where it's been earlier in the year.
You know, and we're not going to be like Brian Billick and say punters don't count as NFL. Jake Hartbarger, he did a lot. He had great hang time on the ball. He angled all of his kicks where the coverage was going. I think it was his last punt he booted out of bounds at the maximum distance that he could get that thing to go. I think that Hartbarger looks phenomenal. I think if Tyler O'Connor's in there, William Likely gets 2 touchdowns at least.
Yeah, I agree. They needed Hartbarger to step up, and he did.
That was one thing that worried me coming into the year, and he's actually been better than I thought he would be. I thought he'd struggle a lot more than he has. I mean, of course, he's had his struggles this year,
those were injuries, weren't they? Those were injury related.
Right, exactly. He is outperformed what I expected for him as a redshirt freshman.
I think he filled the shoes that Tadler left for him. Now, I know we're getting to this a little bit earlier than normal, but that's because we got a little bit more going on this week than normal, with it being Ohio State week. Let's get to your end. We didn't do this last week because, you remember, Michigan State did end up losing, and so we just said forget about it. Let's get your MVP this week, though.
I'm going to give it to Malik McDowell. He won Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. He was a monster with 4.5 tackles for loss. He is next year. It's going to be all eyes on him with Calhoun and Thomas going leaving as seniors. McDowell is probably going to leave after his junior year, and he'll probably be a first round pick.
Yeah, I'm going Darian Hicks. The second he came in, that Maryland offense slowed down. And let's not forget, he was the one who sprung Riley Bulla on Bulla's interception return for a touchdown. I thought about going with Bulla because he was the one who kind of turned the tide with that pick. But Darian Hicks doesn't get that block. Bulla doesn't score. Hicks laid the wood. Jason Strayhorn said it in the postgame. It was Tony Lippitt-esque. Wasn't as hard, but it was a good enough block to spring Bulla. And Hicks played well on defense, had a couple passes defended. I'm going with Darian Hicks because once he came in, he turned the tide. And now the reason why we did that a little bit early is because Ryan Dixon this weekend, you're not going to be on until next week probably. So we just want your prediction for the Ohio State game with it being as big of a game as it is.
I've got the Buckeyes winning. A realist in me says that this is just going to be a shootout. I've got the Buckeyes winning 45-38. I think that the line is too high. Ohio State's favored to win by 13 points right now, but I think the Spartans cover the spread. I think it's going to come down to the last drive, and I think, unfortunately, JT Barrett's going to have a game-winning touchdown drive.
All right. Hey, Ryan, man. Thanks for coming on. That does it for us here today. Check out the show this Thursday as we talk about what needs to happen when the college football playoff poll gets released on Tuesday for the Spartans to have a shot. Also, former Super Bowl champion from the Pittsburgh Steelers, former Spartan offensive tackle, Ulish Booker, is going to join us then as well. Friday, Patrick McEwen, who is an iSports Web contributor for Ohio State, is going to join us to preview this weekend's big showdown against the Buckeyes. For Ryan McCumber, I'm Tyler Hayward. This was the iSports NSU Red Feeder Report.